Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Drunk Women will be downing Prosecco at this year's Edinburgh Fringe. You can see them from the 3rd to the 11th of August inclusive, 7:20pm at the Underbelly, Bristow Square. Tickets are now on sale at underbellyedinburgh.co.uk.
Drunk Women Solving Crime. Drunk Women. Drunk Women Solving Crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I went to my friend's nan's house. Now, stay with me. And
labial recognition.
We just got to get butt stuff into this. And
yeah.
All gold.
Here's to fingering, I guess. Yeah!
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, I am so pleased to introduce our guest for this episode. It is comedian Caroline Mabey.
Sorry, I wasn't expecting that. A round of applause, man. That's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being
here.
Thank
you. Good night. That's the end of the show.
How are you doing today, Caroline?
I'm good. I have been drinking your gin already.
It's going down all right.
And I sort of thought we were going to start a bit sooner, so I ate the gin too fast.
It's good to eat dinner before you start drinking.
Yeah.
So.
You don't want to drink on an empty stomach. You got to put
Caroline,
some gin down there.
Can you kick us off by telling us?
Oh. Yes.
Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Crime. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, it was a dark night. And I was coming home from work. Oh, yeah. I've had some jobs. I was on my street. I used to live on a council estate in Clapham. And I was on my street. I was about to turn into the estate. And this girl... tiny little girl. She was probably 14, but she was tiny. She started asking me loads of questions. Mm-hmm. And then And I was being really polite, but she was getting ruder and ruder, so that I had to be rude to her. And then finally, when I was rude to her, she started on me and she was like, I'm going to get my brother. He's going to gyp you. And luckily, I didn't know what gyp meant.
I still don't know what
that
means.
It's like kind of slicing your face. No, stabbing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, knife, I'm so naive.
Knife work. It's just
knife work.
And anyway, eventually, I think I told her to fuck off, and then that's when she like launched herself at me.
Ooh.
But my reaction, yeah. I was surprised, was to push her, my full hand in her face.
Ooh.
And say, "Get off me, you stupid little woman." And luckily, wow. One of her earrings fell out when this happened. And so she was like going around it because she punched me in the face, right?
Oh, God.
But it was pathetic.
It's like a little tiny girl's punch.
And then I pushed her away.
Wow.
Then her earring fell out. So while she was looking for her earring, which was more precious than whatever might be in my bag, I think it was before we used to walk around with laptops. I think it was, but there was a phone, there was something I was like, I'm not going to fucking give you my stuff. Fuck off.
So she's trying to get your bag.
But
it started with just like,
how do I get to this place? And then, but she wanted me to, then she demanded that I give her my stuff and I said no. And then I told her to fuck off. Then she punched me. Then I told her to get off me, you stupid little woman. And while she was looking for her earring, I ran off down the street. I didn't turn into my house because she'd been saying she knew where I lived and stuff.
Right.
So I ran off up the road, got on a bus back into town.
Ooh.
And I was like, I've been punched in the face by a tiny Milky White goblin. And and I was like, I could feel blood coming down my face. But then I was like, everybody must think I've been really attacked. But it was just really, you know, that water with a tiny bit of blood.
Right.
Really. Were you
crying? Don't put your blood down. Come on.
And then a couple of days later, somebody knocked on the door. Terrifying. And it was some Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh.
And they said, "Is anything bad happened to you in the local neighborhood?" And I said, "Yeah, this little teenage girl tried to steal my stuff and she punched me in the face." And they went, "Oh, you should have punched her back." Hang on, read your own books.
You're not getting into heaven.
Turn the other cheek.
Really? Maybe I should listen to them next time. I don't know that's what they're about. They're more eye for an eye.
They're like proper vigilantes, those Jehovah's Witnesses.
Eye for an eye phone, okay. Basically.
Also like a Nokia 3332.
You should let her have it.
I like it. Yeah, it's just the dim past. It's the dim past.
Did you do that thing when you like sort of held her back? Was it because she was so small, you literally like was just holding her at arm's length? And like she was trying to swing at you and like a cartoon.
That's what I was picturing.
Really. And then afterwards, I was sort of triggered every time I saw a 4-foot white girl.
Right.
And I was really glad that was the trigger rather than like, you know, any other...
Anything else?
Yeah. I'm terrified of 14-year-old girls.
Like Cher Lloyd. You're terrified of Cher Lloyd, but no one else. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's an old reference, Anna. But
I don't know. I don't
spot on.
Did you report it or did you just...
I don't think I did. Okay. I reported it to the bus driver.
Yeah. Like, oh, you should have seen the other guy. They must have
you
a protocol.
You think this watery, bloody water is bad? You should see the tiny little woman.
She's wait till you hear what the Jehovah's Witnesses have to say about this.
No, it wasn't really... It was a crime averted, I suppose.
Yeah, well done. You solved
your own crime.
Yeah. Now, how old would you be... Now. I'm just... Ooh, you got to wonder, where are they now? Where is the goblin now?
She's probably like the CEO of Deliveroo. That's probably...
You got to have some grit to do that.
Yeah.
So
the knife work.
Well, we often ask, what would you say to the perpetrator if they were here now? Now, your line to her in the moment was so good that there's no need to one-up that. But if she were here, what would you want to say to her?
Namaste.
I love it.
That's a great answer.
That is a great answer.
We've never had that answer.
Take that with me.
Namaste.
Caroline, thank you so much. Here's to Caroline's resilience.
Hey, cheers, guys.
Boing, boing, boing.
Nobody puts maybe in a corner.
Hey. Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
All right, guys, are we ready to solve some true crime?
Always. Yeah, we are.
Now, by Always. Solve true crime, you know I like to go off piste. I brought you pirates once.
Sure,
that was really it. That was really it. There is a crime. In fact, I'm going to talk about two crimes in this case. But it's also a bit of it's a training module, which we all need to go through every few months as detectives. So we're going to learn about some stuff while we go. Or maybe
don't turn off. Don't turn off, listener. Don't turn off. Stick with us.
What? We have super nerd fans. It's fine. This case involves someone called Harry Jackson.
Okay.
Harry or Harry?
Which is which? Which one is like Harry hair, like hair suit?
Harry.
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 Harry. Harry. I say both. And Harry or Harry? Harry. Are you Harry? Harry?
Prince Harry.
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 It's Harry.
Oh, Harry Jackson.
Harry Jackson. I don't think anyone said it like that.
Harry Jackson.
Harry Jackson. So I'm going to cut to the chase.
Okay.
Harry Jackson was a thief.
Whoa.
Just an ordinary thief. And we wouldn't know anything about Harry Jackson. Now I'm even doubting Jackson. Jackson. Except there was something about his court case that was unique. It had never happened before. And it involved something in police work that had never been used in a case before. Can you guess what that might have been?
Fingerprints.
Oh my God, it is fingerprints.
That was genuinely a complete guess.
Wow. I was ready with a clue like, it's a certain type of evidence. Well done, Detective Wilkins.
The print of a certain pointy part of the body.
It's not your toes.
Not the tongue, Hannah. I don't know why I said that.
Tongue prints, that makes
tongue
sense.
Tongue prints.
That checks out.
But why did I bring you into it? Hannah. Stop it, Hannah. Tongue prints would be hilarious. They should do that. They probably have on like Rick and Morty. Anyway, fuck it. What year do you think that this case occurred when were fingerprints first used in a case?
1847.
Very good guess.
Thank you.
Not far off.
Oh, I was going to say 1920, so I'm way off.
Okay. Well, no, you're both kind of...
Is it somewhere between?
1878.
Yeah. Somewhere betwixt. So forgive me for the tongue comment, Hannah, and
1887.
Oh, you did come officially closest. 1902.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll get back to the story of Harry Jackson. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about how fingerprints came to be used in the police force. I really nerded out on this, so come with me. Come with me. Question, what are the odds of two people having the same fingerprint?
No odds.
One,
impossible.
One in 2 million.
Oh, I think it's got to be more than that because there's like 6 billion people in the world and that would make fingerprinting not that good.
Oh, okay, yeah.
One in 3 billion.
1 in 3 billion, I like
it's, it. It's billions to one.
Right.
Which I just think is funny because at some point can't you go like, it's impossible? Like, is that even an odd?
No.
No?
No. And that's why crime is so much fun. Because there can always be...
There's always that chance.
Thumb can match yours.
So it has not happened in history to date. Just
as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Okay.
I just don't want any fucker getting into my iPhone right now. That's what I'm worried about.
It's very unlikely. Okay. Oh, so you use a fingerprint?
Yeah.
You're still using fingerprints?
No face recognition.
No, actually, I'm using a tongue print.
You're not using labial recognition. Half the people are doing it.
Labial recognition. Oh, God.
I just want to picture that for a second. Okay. Fingerprinting still remains. What?
That's the sound it makes when you do it. Creaking open.
Fingerprinting still remains controversial to some.
Why? What's the controversy?
Intrusive.
More people than I realized find it controversial.
Sexy.
But one person in particular was a scientist And I went to read the article, but it was in the Telegraph. I'm like, I'm not paying you
no.
to read this article. Like, your opinion is not worth enough to me. And I was like, and you're in the
Telegraph. It's only science.
It's only science. Due to human error, because it's possible to take one fingerprint after another, and even those look different. So it's less that the fingerprinting isn't accurate, but how accurate is any given person taking a fingerprint at one
the
time?
The human error.
The human error factor.
Also, like, sneaky switcheroo.
There could be sneaky switcheroos.
Oh, corrupt officials.
You could steal somebody else's finger and very subtly just put it down on the pad.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's ever been done. Anyway. Okay.
I must have.
To most law enforcement and forensic professionals, fingerprinting is a cheap and reliable way to identify or disprove the identity of a suspect. This is because we leave fingerprints everywhere we go, and fingerprinting is about 400 times cheaper than DNA testing. So it's still used a lot. Any idea which cases it tends to be used in the most?
For fingerprinting?
Yeah.
Burglary?
Yes. Why?
Because they touch stuff?
Well, and also, you touch stuff in every crime, sort of.
But because you wouldn't bring out the big guns of DNA unless someone's been killed.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, lower grade crime. Do you
know what? I went to my friend's Nan's house. Now, stay with me. And he first went there when he was a child. And she died. And we went to the house because it was empty. And then we were looking at one of the doors, one of these sort of like French windows, and for some reason I breathed on it quite low down, and I mean, I don't know why I
were
did
you
it
having sexual intercourse
on the floor.
I mean, yes, but I know
you're on all fours.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I did it. It's really weird. I don't know what led me to breathe on this French
That's
window.
Okay.
I mean, it's weird because
it's just funny that it was low down.
It's weird, isn't it? But because he went there as a child, and I breathed on
was
it.
He
and
still
I
was still a child when you were having sexual intercourse? No.
And I breathed on it, and there was a child's handprint on the window.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, fucking hell, that's mad. There must have been, your nan must have had some kids around or something. They've sort of, and he was like, no, my nan didn't know any kids. That's probably my fingerprints from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
From when I was kids, because she obviously didn't
no
wash the windows, maybe.
No one washed the windows.
Wow. I don't think they did. And it was
or
amazing.
It's like a ghost hand.
It was so creepy because I breathed it. You know, if you breathe on something, you can see the fingerprints on it. Mm. And it was a child's hand in this house that hadn't had any children in it since he was there 25 years ago. It was so creepy.
That's super creepy.
Yeah, it was really creepy.
I mean, I thought it was creepy that you breathed on it real low, but child's hand is even
no
really
idea
brings
what
it to
that.
Life. Okay, so fingerprinting obviously is more accurate than methods of ID, which were used before, which included ID on sight. Obviously, that failed a lot because people don't always recognize people.
Yeah.
People change their looks, etc. I also came across something called the Bertillon method.
Is this the ears thing?
Close. It's about measuring bone structure. What's the ears thing?
That they thought that they could recognize people from their ears. We talked about this once
didn't
we?
Because everyone's ear print is different.
Yeah, but it's not.
I wish they did ear prints. That's great. Or earphone recognition.
Just in case,
good.
Like, a robber was listening in to a next-door neighbor. When were you going to get an ear print of a robber?
Yeah.
No, so they would measure bone structures. So they reason, like, even if your face ages, your bone structure isn't going to change. So they would measure across the forehead, jaw, things like that. This failed in a lot of cases, though. Can you think of a case where this could fail and identify the wrong person?
Well, if you have the same bone structure shape as somebody else.
Twins.
Oh my
identical
god, is
twins.
It seriously?
Yeah, so there was a case where this famously failed. They arrested the wrong person. He ended up doing time in prison.
And it was his twin.
He had an identical twin.
I've got a twin.
Don't they all say that since this case?
Yeah. Well, notable that they were not white. So that may have played into whether they were listened to or not. But also their names were Will and William.
What?
Which I just thought, like, oh, what injustice is horrible. Look at these stupid measures we use and the wrong person. I'm like, Will and William? Why would you do that to your kids?
That's weird.
It's just too much work to come up with.
I find it weird
names.
When you go to the passport control and they sort of look at you in a pit, just have to look into a camera and it tells you whether or not you're the person in the picture.
Yeah.
That's odd. But that must be this, because it must just be based on
measurements.
Yeah.
Well, there are photographs of their face, and they do. I mean, they just, they're absolutely identical. So not a good method. There are three types of fingerprints. Can you guess what those three types are?
No.
Front finger, back finger, and middle finger.
It has to do with how the prints are left behind.
Oh.
Sugar, water, and rock.
So there'll be the ones where you get the, like a mirror image with dust or something, like you get, no. Yeah? Okay.
So what would leave the print in that case? The ones that you dust for?
A finger.
Grease.
Yeah. We all have oil and sweat on our hands. No matter how much you wash, whatever you do, you will leave behind a fingerprint. And those are invisible fingerprints. You have to dust for them. Okay. Oh. Super nerded out on this. Scientific America has a great article. Cocoa powder.
What?
You can dust for your own fingerprints with cocoa powder.
And what is that? Because it's fine enough.
It tastes delicious. Yeah.
And then you lick it up and, well, you'd have to add sugar to it. Obviously. So what are the other two kinds?
So blood, sweat, and tears. Wetness, dryness.
I don't get it. Ways of finding the...
No, the types of fingerprints that you leave behind.
You'd leave it in some wax or like a substance that would keep
imprint.
She went there.
Spot on. A substance that's soft enough to get your finger imprint.
Okay.
And then the last one is...
Is it on a person?
Dirty. Are you a dirty person?
Yeah, if you've got filth on your fingers.
Yeah. Oh, like mud. So it's mud.
You leave behind an actual smudge.
Okay. I remember, I'm getting very anecdotal, but a teacher at my school, he gave me back my homework and he left a fingerprint on it because he lived on a houseboat and wasn't very clean.
Oh.
I know, isn't that creepy?
God.
Yeah.
You have lots of hand stories.
I do. Tune in, listeners. There's more coming up.
Okay.
So I once gave someone a hand job.
Now, that would leave the invisible fingerprints.
In his nan's house. And
we just got to get butt stuff into this. And then all gold.
So the identification of fingerprints was recognized as early as the 1850s, but the first ever classification system and fingerprint bureau was set up by a guy called Sir Edward R. Henry. In 1897, he was a member of the Indian Civil Service and the Inspector General of the Lower Bengal Police. He named it the Henry System. Of classification.
Of course, sure. Fucking did.
If you invented something like that, would you name it after yourself?
Yes.
Because I can't say that I wouldn't. Like, I would absolutely.
But yours is kind of like, your surname is very much a kind of like the maybe.
Maybe?
It's not great for police work.
It's not without its controversies.
I would name it. Okay. Given the information I've just said, where was the first fingerprint bureau established?
Bengal?
London?
Close. It was in India.
It was in India?
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the Bengal police. No. What was his job again?
He was the member of the Indian Civil Service and Inspector General of the Lower Bengal Police.
Okay.
Lower Bengal?
I don't know my Bengal region. I probably should have researched that in asking this question.
Where is it?
Calcutta.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is that the answer?
That's the answer.
Okay.
Calcutta is the anglicized word. Does anybody know what Calcutta is called now?
Kolkata.
Spot on. Very good. It comes from Bengali.
I told you I'm a clueless racist.
Yeah. Except the opposite. The Bengali name was Kalikata. And then I wrote, why have I done this to myself? I don't know how to say any of these words. Okay. Just reading what I wrote. So it's smart that he sort of took over this because there were other scientists in the field that were studying using fingerprints. So Henry kind of jumped on it. But there was also a guy called Herschel who was also in India. And he had also come up with a system which was based on basically when criminals had to sign confessions. He got into the habit of making them do an entire handprint on the piece of paper.
Like they were a child and he was really proud of them.
Yes.
Put the hand in the paint and then whee!
Was this based in any kind of science? What do you think his thinking was behind getting a whole handprint from somebody who's signing a confession?
I don't think he had any children. He just wanted to do what the parents are doing.
Well, it's like if they couldn't write, is it like instead of a signature?
No, they also had to do a signature.
Oh, okay.
I remember when I was a kid, I got, sorry, no, for Father's Day, I had to do a little handprint on a piece of sugar paper. And then someone had written, the teacher had written, "To Daddy, I hope one day my hands are as big as yours. Love from Hannah." My dad is 6'5". Yeah, no. His hands are like literally the biggest things I've ever seen in my life. It's like, yeah, I would have crazy fucking huge hands if that came true.
Your dad's hands are literally the biggest things you've ever seen.
I mean, I've seen aeroplanes, I've seen the Empire State Building. I just mean in terms of hands,
but
they're quite big.
That card should have said, "Dear Daddy, I hope my hands grow to a moderate
size." Yeah, I hope my hands are the same size as Mum's, basically. You know,
even
the woman.
Then, like, don't. It doesn't matter. What does it matter if your hands aren't as big as your Mum's?
I don't want huge hands. I don't want to be that guy.
Like,
I wish I had bigger hands. See, I'm listening to the story. I'm like, I could use bigger hands.
I just
look at me. Look at. So I've got broad shoulders. Look how tiny these fuckers are. I'm like T-Rex.
You look right. You look completely in proportion.
No, look at these.
You are perfect.
Hold your hand up,
Katie. It's teachers like Hannah's.
Look at that.
That's weird. That's weird.
Trump.
No. Your teacher hand shamed you. And that is now Taylor's suffering.
No one shames me but myself on that. I see pictures of myself. I'm like, look at those half hands.
You've imbibed this message from cards like that teacher's.
So Herschel was doing this.
Is he trying to humiliate them?
Well, that's closer to the truth than anything scientific.
Because he's going, when they leave, they're going to leave their prints on things because they've
He's made their handle really inky.
And if they go and steal something immediately after being arrested.
Is this where the thing red-handed comes from? Red-handed. Oh my God, did he invent red-handed? Is it red-handed?
No, I wish it was. That's awesome.
Where did red-handed come from?
When the money goes red. Red money, you know, you've heard of red money.
Sure.
No, when the money that...
Oh, because it's like blood money.
No. When you steal money from... When I steal money from the bank.
Yeah.
And then it releases a dye so that you can't...
Oh, is it that?
Oh, that's red-handed. Is that what it comes from?
I was just wondering if it's Macbeth now.
Macbeth.
Lady Macbeth trying to wash the blood off her hands. Sure. But that's not red-handed. Red-handed?
Yeah, it could be blood, yeah.
Herschel did this. Because in his head, he thought, if I can make these people connect with the piece of paper, then they will never lie again. Because they've put their skin to the paper on the confession. He believed that a signature was too easy to distance yourself from. So there was something about putting your hand down, almost like a hand on a Bible.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm scared hand that he was in this. Charge of stuff.
Well, luckily.
He believes in fairies.
I know. It was a little bit out there. That was interesting. Yeah. So later, Sir Henry established the first United Kingdom Fingerprint Bureau in 1902. He was very restrained. He didn't name it Henry's Bureau. He had already done that.
Do you think like a few of his friends took him aside and went, "Mate,
yeah,
you're looking really egotistical. Just being a friend, don't name it that anymore."
It could be.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sir Henry was cool. He introduced a lot to the force. He also introduced police dogs.
What?
The first time.
Love police dogs. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where did he get that idea from? That's like quite different to fingerprinting.
I know, but he was bringing a lot of innovation.
Okay, yeah.
I love the idea of the first day of introducing...
That was
Herschel.
Yeah, there's Henry's doing the...
Did he just bring them in and let everybody pet them? And he's like, "So guys, I got something.
I'm bringing my dog to work and you can't stop me." Yeah, it has a job now. Shut up, it's got a job.
I like this. No, and he introduced typewriters.
Love typewriters.
He's a busy guy.
He introduced them to who?
He made them...
The police force, everything was written by hand before then.
But he didn't invent typewriters.
No.
So wait, he just was like this newfangled thing. I know it's not going to catch on, but look.
Wait, were the dogs on the typewriters?
Yes.
Because that's what I'm imagining right now.
Dogs typing.
Yeah. He's like that guy in the office going, look, everyone's tweeting. Now I want everyone to tweet at the office. Let's all be socially active on things. They're like, oh God, this guy loves his gadgets. Now we have to use typewriters.
Yeah, yeah. And dogs.
And dogs. I don't know which order.
I don't know which order. The police force.
He sounds like a real innovator.
He's Henry. He's Sir Henry.
And he came from Lower Bengal.
That's where he was stationed at the time.
He came back.
Yes, and then he's come back. Cut to.
I wonder why there was so much fingerprint generation in India.
I don't know. I got the sense that there was some connection between Herschel, who's like wackadoodle doing these handprints.
Right.
But people in different countries had been starting to keep records of people, but they'd never been used in a case before. Okay. But they had been used in identifying, and there are other cases where, you know, it's kind of used as a way to track like somebody.
Profiling.
So yeah, it's not like he suddenly went, let's all take prints.
Right.
But he was the first one to classify it.
Okay.
The Henry
classification. He got his name on the document.
He did. So, cut to the summer of 1902. We're at the Perseverance Pub in Brixton, where a constable spots someone breaking into the pub and arrests him. Who is it?
Harry.
It's Harry Jackson.
Harry.
It's Harry Jackson. Did Harry have a previous record, do we think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No. No, I'm just looking at him. Anything different? Yes, he did have a record. Of course he did. He's Harry Jackson. He's been difficult for a long time. So he had been in prison for stealing before. So they do have his prints on file.
I feel really sad for Harry.
For Harry Jackson?
Yeah.
Well,
he wasn't living his best life.
He was living his best life.
But he didn't get another chance.
Mm. Or does he? Mm? Let's find out.
Yeah.
So he was suspected of a string of other burglaries in South London, including a recent one when this happened, not like yesterday. He's still going, guys. In fact, he's in the room. Infamous. Let me introduce him. So there had been a burglary at a private residence, 156 Denmark Hill. Give us a shout if you live there. How cool would that be? Actually, don't, because somebody might break in again. But tell us in private that you live there. The suspect stole something made of ivory from the residence. Good guess.
A piano.
Very good guess. Also.
Salt shaker.
Very good. It's used in a type
chessboard.
It's used in a type of sport.
Badminton.
Golf.
Indoor sport.
Croquet.
Indoor sport. Ping pong.
Snooker ball.
Maybe.
Oh. No, is a snooker ball made out of ivory?
It used to be.
Bad, isn't it?
So very valuable. Okay. I know.
All of them?
Yeah. That is an elephant's testicle.
So. Oh my God. That's awful.
Yeah.
All of them then horrible. Painted yellow and red?
Yeah, were they then painted?
Oh my God. This whole thing was worth it just for that. So thank you very much. Yeah, so they're made of ivory. They're very valuable. So he stole three snooker balls. Snooker, right? Snooker? It's not snooker.
Snooker.
I always doubt myself because I would snooker. Say snooker. Like if I see that.
Snooker is snooker.
Not a thing.
But I get confused.
Snooker. I feel way better about mispronouncing all those French words now.
Yeah. You shouldn't ever feel bad about that.
And nor should you.
But I was excited to say snooker balls. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I get to say snooker balls. So they find a fingerprint at 156 Denmark Hill, where the perp had climbed through a ground floor window. Remembering the type of fingerprints that are possible, what type of fingerprint do you reckon this was?
Well,
raising my eyebrows rapidly for the listeners.
Dusting would be, they'd have to be looking for it. So I wonder if it was like a muddy fingerprint that he's accidentally left.
Was it wet putty on the window frame?
Oh, yes.
Detective, maybe.
Hello.
Yeah, she's smashing
it. That's an excellent guess. Ever since she put her hand in that 14-year-old's face, Caroline was destined to crack crimes that have already been cracked.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And that's right.
That's spot on.
Always.
The paint, the putty was still...
The paint, the putty.
Slightly, the paint, the putty. Was it paint? What is it, putty? What's the difference? No difference. Yeah, it had been freshly painted, so when he climbed in, it left an actual imprint of just one of his fingers.
It's great you did that whole background thing, because that was really fun guessing that.
Thanks, guys. It's a slow burn. You should go see my stand-up. It's the same. Sometimes we don't get to the burn, but anyway. So, this excites the force, some people. Now, the article I read, I genuinely need you to help me with this, because it said, then began the laborious task of matching the prints because they sifted through all the known criminals. If you knew Harry Jackson, wouldn't you start with his?
Yeah.
Mm. Why would it say that? Is that just... Do you know what I mean?
Why would you think it was...
He was caught, wasn't he?
Well, no, so wait.
He had just been arrested. He had just been arrested at the Perseverance pub.
But for trying to break
into
the pub.
He's a suspect in South London burglaries. Hang on. So wouldn't he be?
A good...
Why was he arrested? What was he arrested for?
He broke into the Perseverance pub and attempted to steal, but a constable catches him. So he's in custody. He's awaiting trial, but they want to get him for more of his crimes.
And he's known for this line of work.
They suspect... Yeah, yeah, and he's known for it, and they suspect him for the recent things.
And Denmark Hill is close to the Perseverance pub.
Quite close.
Well,
it's South London.
I guess they have to.
This is my knowledge of South London.
When you're doing these fingerprints,
how
are you checking how identical they are? Just like you're like now, obviously, computers or whatever. But then,
magnifying glass.
Literally, really, it's a magnifying glass.
It really was. I mean, there was no, like, they were just starting to do dust
tracing paper. Light coming through behind.
Oh my god.
Gloves on.
Yes.
That's important. Yes.
There was a French scientist that was starting to experiment with like iodine that I was reading about, and they were trying to make them
iodine
glow.
Huh?
But yeah, it's so early in the science that it would have been...
That would be pretty laborious.
So it would have taken a long time to... And you'd have to have enough... Like, could you...
Yeah, if you're doing it by eye... It's because they're not going to come up exactly the same, are they?
Well, yeah, this is my question. Yeah. Do you have, like, so if you've got...
No, see, this helps because I was like, why is it laborious? Just look at one and look at the other, but...
But so if you've like got, angles. So you've got your putty fingerprint.
Yeah.
And then you've got this, you've got his fingerprint officially over here.
Yeah.
So in order to prove that they're identical,
yeah.
Do you need to have a load of other fingerprints that look really different? So you're like, even though like, oh, you know, that bit's a bit smudged there, you can go... No, they're identical.
Right.
Or with nothing to compare it to, can you go, they are identical?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I would
like
think.
Got to be a margin.
Katie always asks questions that I don't know the answer to. I'm like, that's a great question, Katie.
Of error, hasn't there? Where you?
Yeah.
But not error.
But
of accuracy.
And with an imprint, how would you even get that transferred? I'm not sure what sort of like cloth they use to get the imprint.
It's control I and that inverts it.
Ooh, get you.
Caroline's saying stuff. Okay, do they find a match?
Yeah.
Of course they do. What a shitty story otherwise. The assistant commissioner of police at the time pushed especially hard to use this evidence in the trial. Who do we suppose? The assistant commissioner.
Henry.
Henry.
It's Henry. Possibly, he's only working at the bloody station now.
Guys, why don't you use the Henry system?
Henry system? Just a thought.
Henry system.
Probably do that.
And then the dogs are barking in the background. He's like, let me just type it up. Oh, look how easily. I'm Sir Henry.
He's an innovator.
Yeah. So this is a brand new technology. So this is a crazy trial. Like it goes on way longer than a normal in-and-out burglary trial would have gone because they have to convince jurors that this is a legitimate science because they've never seen this. This is like voodoo. This is as weird as Herschel's random handprints. It's like, what? Because you have to start with, oh, we all have unique fingerprints. Well, how do you know that?
So it's half of its education.
It was mostly education. But obviously, Sir Henry is so passionate about this. He pulls in every...
Wow.
The prosecution pulls in all these experts that can help explain it and talk about...
Wow.
These folds on the fingers. So they testify to the accuracy of this method, but the jurors are still... Mm. What do you think the verdict is in convicting him on the case of 156 Denmark Hill?
I think not guilty, I think, because I think that people, particularly a jury of normal people, are going to be sceptical. And I think they were too sceptical. That's my...
Oh, well, I would have said that it goes, that guilty, Because otherwise it's not a landmark case. Although it's still a landmark case for trying to do it, even if they don't succeed.
Yeah, just bringing it into court was...
Well, I still say that they win and he goes down for it.
Okay. Detective, maybe you've done very well today.
I think it's not guilty because people fear change.
Yeah.
It's very true. He was, indeed, found guilty. They convinced the jury, and because of the guilty verdict, this set a huge precedent for future trials. Sir Henry is promoted to commissioner. And the use of fingerprinting becomes key in a whole slew of cases, particularly in the conviction of the Stratton brothers.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the Stratton brothers were found guilty of?
Stealing diamonds.
Touching things.
Sounds like they're musicians, the Stratton brothers.
It really does.
Yeah. Like real grassroots. The early 19th century.
Stratton brothers.
Yeah, I think it's crimes against music.
They may have been shitty musicians, but this was in fact the very first murder case to use fingerprinting as evidence.
Wow.
And they were found guilty. So this was also an attempted burglary. That's a hard word, burglary. But it turned fatal when they broke into a shop, and the shopkeeper happened to be there. He was a 73-year-old man, I think. I didn't write any of this down. And they found a greasy smudge. The greasy Stratton brothers left a smudge on a cash box that was left behind at the scene of the robbery and murder.
Wow.
So this was the beginning of a whole lot of forensic awesomeness. Thank you for coming on this journey with me. I hope it's been fun. Check out the Scientific American article. It will teach you how to dust for your own fingerprints with Coco. And here's to fingering, I guess. Okay, we've just had a wee break. Let's not pretend that we haven't. And we've come back to discover that I thought that every country made you, after you have your baby, that they take their prints.
Of your baby.
Yeah, their footprint and their fingerprint straight away. And you guys are like, what?
Yeah, no, that's because...
And when you go through customs in the US, they get
arriving in America, we had to put our fingerprints...
So if you do a burglary while you're there.
Yeah, that we're in the system.
Now, I remember when that technology came out, because I traveled there. My daughter was an infant, so she had been printed. Prints had been done. And my husband, when he gets jet lagged, gets so confused. And he gets really weird. So we've had a lot of trouble at security. And I'm like, come on. And then I'm like feeding him answers, because I'm like, for fuck's sake, answer. So instead of putting his finger flat, he approached it, this is going to be hard to describe, like a claw. Like his hands were a claw, so he's putting his very, like his fingernails against it, and they're like, sir, you got to put your finger flat. And he's like, what? So he just kept rotating, but still just the pointy end. They're like, all right, I'm sorry, but we're going to, he failed it 3 times.
Wow.
I'm like, put your fucking finger flat. Because our daughter's like about to explode from the trip, and we get put in this holding pen.
Oh no.
At JFK.
And everyone's got guns. It's so terrifying.
Well, the holding pen was like every cliche of every country you can imagine. Like there's the guy with the sombrero, and there's like the woman in the burqa, and we're just sitting there like, I was like, you fucking asshole. Like I was just so done traveling because my husband couldn't put his finger flat. But yeah, that's nice. You guys have, you know, more personal liberties and items. You're not right in the system.
For now.
Enjoy the changes. Okay, enjoy the chicken and the changes. So now we get to our listener crime. Now, this was sent in to us a little while ago. We got an email through. Mm-hmm. So we are doing this. It's from a Matilda Edgley. FYI, that's a pen name. So don't be looking up Matilda Edgley. Mm. Or maybe you can.
Yeah, maybe there's a book.
Okay.
Buy it.
Sorry. Pen names are public. Now I'm all paranoid because of the fingerprinting thing. So here it goes. I was at the birthday party of a friend who was turning 21, but I was 19 and the youngest at the party. The house we were in was one where you enter the front door. It'd be funny if that was just full stop. It was one of those houses where you enter the front door. So as soon as you enter the front door, you have the kitchen immediately there, and then the lounge is further back. We were all in the lounge. The first I knew anything was wrong was a loud smash at the front of the house. But by the time I got there, nobody was at the door, but there was a broken window and the smell of petrol.
Oh.
It turned out that one of the female party guests had been having a will they, won't they with a lad who lived nearby. And when it turned out they wouldn't, the boy was not invited to the party because it would cause drama. Well, thank God they didn't invite him. So he and his friend had tried to kick down the door of the house, leaving a muddy boot print matching his boot. When they couldn't break down the door, they smashed the window and poured a bottle of white spirit.
Oh my God.
If nobody had heard the smash, they would have lit the fire.
Wow.
But they fled when someone came to investigate.
Holy shit. Dark.
I don't go to the right parties.
This person foiled a plan, foiled a crime.
Pretty much. So statements were given to police.
Wow. But so did they see the faces of these
this is that they don't believe that any punishment was given to the offenders. They actually made a formal complaint to the department for how it was handled. Wow. So that's all I know.
Wow.
Do we think it was definitely, like, is there no doubt about it being
who hasn't smashed a front door and poured white spirit into the foyer?
I mean, that's pretty dark. Like, they could have killed everyone at the party.
It's really scary. Yeah.
And all because this person wouldn't go out with him.
Like, yeah. Great dodge.
Because he wasn't invited to the party.
Oh. Yeah, which one was it? That's maybe the relationship really wasn't such a big deal.
That would not have been a happy relationship if you'd gone out with that guy. He was a fucking Fruit Loop.
I'm thinking it's better that it was a won't they.
Yeah.
Of the Ross and Rachel's.
And he's like, what, 21?
Have you ever witnessed anything like this at a party, though? Like, I've never had anything.
Not fires, just punches.
I went to a party once where water started coming through the ceiling and somebody had just run a bath upstairs, put the plug in, run a bath and left.
What?
Vindictively?
What? Yeah, vindictively.
Because they haven't been invited to the party.
I mean, they had obviously been invited, but
they're
like...
I'm going to flood that.
Literally, and they flooded the whole place. Water came through the ceiling, everyone had to leave.
And that's still was not as bad as trying to set it on fire.
No, that's not as bad. That would have solved terrible, the problem. Yeah. But,
what's wrong with me that I think that's worse?
Oh, really?
I mean, damp is
was
hard
it somebody,
to
was it damp is for life.
You can fix a window, but
or
damp
someone
is
in
for
the same house.
Fix a fire, though.
It was somebody at the party.
Somebody at the party did it.
Yeah. Jesus. So someone body who saboteur. Was invited, but was just a bit of a dick.
Why not just do a shit in the bath? Why flood it?
Why not do
Katie, do you have an anecdote you'd like to share?
No.
I've had someone do a shit in my tent.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they wiped their arse. Oh
my God. Do you know who it was?
Where were you?
At a festival. It's kind of like a party.
Do you think they just needed a toilet?
No,
were like, I'm going to get
they
Caroline.
Came, no, they didn't. Well, I don't think they knew me. They just came. It was this festival where the campsite was separate from the festival. So while you go into the festival, the bandits would come and go through your stuff, right?
Oh,
and
I've
been
system.
Pre-warned that people would come and look through your stuff.
Wow.
So my friend had said, look, leave some bits and bobs near the front and don't put if you leave everything in your bag, you risk your whole bag going, so like hide the and I didn't want anyone to walk off with my sketchbook, which had no value to them. But they wiped their arse on my sketchbook. So that every page of my sketchbook had shit on it, and it wasn't my tent, and I'd come back early because I had really bad period pain.
Oh my God.
The girl, I didn't really know the girl whose tent I was staying in, and she was an absolute hygiene freak.
Oh,
and and the boys were like, you've got to clean it up and you've got to not tell her because she'll go insane.
Oh my God.
And when she came back, she was going, oh, it smells really weird in here. And I was lying there going, I hope there's not another shit in here.
Oh my God.
And then in the middle of the night, horrific. I heard this, someone in another take go, oh my God. Oh my God,
laughing their head off. There's a shit on top of my tent.
On top.
Wow. Yeah, that's better, isn't it?
Yeah, on top of your tent is funny. You know, like this kind of silver dome. And there was a shit on top of it, and it was funny.
How did you shit on top funny. Of
it? I think they too transported it.
Oh, you'd have to
it.
Transport it, yeah. Sketchbook. That is so aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think our answer, Matilda, is there are worse things than petrol bombs.
But
it's a shit in a tent and your art.
That
fucked.
Person should have been in much more trouble because they're going to go on and do that
than
again.
Nothing.
Yes! A little bit more.
What
yeah.
is
nothing.
More than nothing? Way, is there more than
way
nothing?
More than, I mean, at least a bit more than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tell you what, if I met him, I wouldn't say namaste.
Namaste go.
That yeah. is the line that has been crossed.
Yeah. Whoa. No, he's an attempted murderer.
Yes, that's he needs a record.
It's really serious.
He's going to do
yeah,
that again.
Yeah, really fucked up.
And he's actually that was
well,
an
that's
attempted
the worrying thing. Not that punishment changes he's anybody.
Got away. Yeah, but even what, if it was some kind of rehabilitation. What does this face mean? Can you read empathy? Like, do like get him in a system.
Do it. Yeah,
get him the help
it.
He needs.
The
not necessarily prison, mm-hmm. but like that is terrifying. That he's walking around. About to set fire to anyone that crosses his path.
Yeah, no.
Outrageous.
I've been at a party where someone's hair got set on fire.
In a malicious way or accidentally?
No.
Oh, in a fun way?
Funny.
That's funny.
No.
Accidental.
I mean, it's not funny.
Funny. Everyone else thought it was funny, but the person didn't think it was funny.
I've been to a bath once. Yeah. Where someone did that. It was
a bath?
It was my bath. And
been
I set
to a bath?
My hair on a candle.
Were you invited?
In a bath?
In a bath. Yeah, you know you have like,
well,
you're in a bath.
You were treating
and you're like,
yourself.
Yeah, I was having candles. I was having a bit of badi das. I was like, yeah, sure, a £6 a bottle, but mum's got some. And yeah, and I leant back on the sponge that I used to put my neck on rather than to use to wipe anything off. And I was like, smells weird. And
yeah, it smells terrible.
I wasn't even
hair.
Washing my hair that day, but I had to plunge. Plunged Ooh. Right in.
Oh.
Horrible.
Did you plunge in time? Was there damage?
Well, I did burn some of my hair off, but it wasn't.
You have so much hair, though.
I've got so much. I could burn
That's
it
so
for
much
days.
Still Harry Jackson.
Harry Jackson. Everything comes full circle.
How was it funny at this party, though? It was funny that this comes.
It's funny when somebody's sitting there and
we
they
all
don't
drugs.
Realize their hair's on fire.
Yeah, I mean,
for like
I laughed.
1 second, it's very flammable, and then it's
also,
actually
I think it was
quite...
like a red-headed person.
That's not okay.
It's not funny.
Where does the flame funny. End and the hair begin? No. All right, on that note, hope that helps. We just think that punishment should have been more swift and more severe. So
yeah,
it's a good lesson in that. Also, great shit in the tent story. Caroline, what would you like to plug?
Oh, well, first of all, that bath at the party. Oh, no, it was plugged. That was the problem. I'd like to unplug it.
Hey!
I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe. So everybody plug your ears. At my show at 3:50 PM this year, very lucky. At Laughing Horse at 32 Below, formerly Usher's, under the Pear Tree.
Ooh.
It's a free show.
Hey.
Amazing.
Yeah, you can't even book it, but you can put me in your spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Oh, and what's it called?
It's called Hair of the Dog.
Oh, nice. Oh, it's the amazing picture.
Sorry. This has got the best poster.
Yeah,
Caroline
it's got
has
the best poster.
The best poster ever made.
Thank
ever.
You.
Are you sick of hearing it? But it's just so amazing.
No, I never get sick. I love, yes, it's a fabulous photo taken by the amazing Edil Sukan.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a dog in my hair because the show is called so Hair of the Dog. It's just.
It's my dream.
Amazing.
It's the best.
And it's about how my partner quit his job as an accountant to train as a dog groomer. Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Thank you so much for being here, for lending your expertise.
Thank you.
Your wit, your Welcome. Anecdotes, and your fashion sense, mm-hmm. if I might say so myself.
Okay.
Great, guys. Well, that's all from us. This has been Yay! Drunk Women Solving Crime Yay! With Caroline Libby.
If you want to learn more about drunk women solving crime, go to www.drunkwomensolvingcrime.com. Check out our merch.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.